Penguin Random House Audio presents The Back Channel, a memoir of American diplomacy and the case for its renewal, by William J. Burns. Read for you by Mark Bramhall, with a prologue read by the author.
This is Bill Burns, and this book is dedicated to Lisa, who has enriched my life beyond measure and made everything possible. Prologue. I remember clearly the moment when I saw American diplomacy and power at their peak. I was seated behind Secretary of State James Baker at the opening of the Madrid Peace Conference in the autumn of 1991, feeling numb from exhaustion and excitement. Around a huge T-shaped table in the Spanish Royal Palace sat a collection of international leaders and, breaking a decades-long taboo, representatives of Israel, the Palestinians, and key Arab states. At the head of the table, alongside President George H.W. Bush, was Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev. He was visibly tired and distracted, the leader of a faded superpower 2 months away from collapse. They were all united less by shared conviction about Arab-Israeli peace than by shared respect for American influence, fresh off the spectacular defeat of Saddam Hussein, the bloodless triumph of the Cold War, the reunification of Germany, and the reordering of Europe. For a young American diplomat, Madrid was a heady moment. It was a dramatic illustration of how diplomacy could achieve what had seemed unthinkable. For the first time, Arabs and Israelis gathered in the same room and agreed to the same terms for negotiations. With that, the door for the resolution of a conflict that had roiled the region and the world for more than four decades cracked open. They sat down together, against their instincts, because we asked, at a moment when well-framed U.S. requests were not easily ignored. It marked a time of uncontested American primacy in a world no longer bound by Cold War rivalry, when history seemed to flow inexorably in America's direction, the power of its ideas driving the rest of the world in a slow but irresistible surge toward democracy and free markets. On that day in Madrid, global currents all seemed to run toward a period of prolonged American dominance. The liberal order that the United States had built and led after World War II would soon draw into its embrace the former Soviet Empire, as well as the post-colonial world for which we had competed. Great power rivalry had rarely seemed so quiescent. Russia was flat on its back, China was still turned inward, and the United States and its key European and Asian allies faced few regional threats and even fewer economic rivals. Globalization was gathering pace, with the American economy propelling greater openness in trade and investment. With only a single website and 11 million cell phones in use around the world, the promise of the information revolution was tantalizing, as was that of remarkable medical and scientific breakthroughs. The reality that a profoundly important era of human progress was unfolding only reinforced a sense of permanence for the nascent Pax Americana. The question at the time was not whether America should seize the unipolar moment, but how and to what end. Should the United States use its unmatched strength to extend American global dominance, or, rather than unilaterally draw and dominate the contours of a new world order, should it instead lead with diplomacy to shape an order in which old rivals had a place and emerging powers had a stake? 1 year later, after President Bush had lost his bid for re-election, I was tasked with writing a transition memo to the incoming Clinton administration and Secretary of State Warren Christopher. In it, I tried to capture the paradox for American statecraft. The memo began by welcoming the new administration to a world in the midst of revolutionary transition, in which he will have both an historic opportunity to shape a new international order and a sobering collection of problems to contend with. While for the first time in 50 years we do not face a global military adversary, I wrote, it is certainly conceivable that a return to authoritarianism in Russia or an aggressively hostile China could revive such a global threat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?